So we begin this morning, I think we begin with Laura is the first reader, and Roy will come up. Roy is our first reflector. So I invite Laura to read and Roy to do his reflection.
Good morning. The first reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I receive mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
In confirmation class, I learned that being a follower of Jesus takes a lot of loyalty and that you have to follow his words. When you read the Bible and study his words that Jesus said to his disciples, we can learn how to get a better relationship with him and be like his disciple and spread his words. When we read the Bible and talk about what he was saying and what the passage meant, I felt happy because I was learning what Jesus wanted us to know. I also learned why we only eat the white part of the bread and why we cut off the crust of the bread. In the videos we watched during the confirmation class, we also got to learn lots of different ways how people praise God and how they serve the community with God also supporting them.
I'm reading Proverbs 22, verses 1 to 9. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The clever see danger and hide, but the simple go on and suffer for it. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. The cautious will keep far from them. Train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Whoever sows injustice will repeat calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor.
Thank you, Reverend Adams, Brenda, Trish, and Alice, Paul, my mom, Julie, and Roy for being there, being with me for these last 12 weeks for the confirmation classes. I have learned a lot and have enjoyed the time we spent together. My favorite part of our weekly confirmation classes were the videos and snack time. Thanks, Trish and Alice, for the yummy snacks. It was very interesting to hear how other churches around the world were helping in their own communities and showing their love of God together. I was especially happy when the members of the congregation could join us, and my Grammy and Papa came to one of our classes. Another special time was having a guest teacher, Keppel. He helped me understand more about why we have communion. Keppel brought a baguette, warmed it in the oven, and we broke the bread together and shared cranberry juice. Now I know that we cut the crust off the bread to show the purity of Jesus Christ. I want to thank Brenda for agreeing to be my mentor and being my support over the last few weeks. Brenda has helped me get more connected with the Sunday worship service by letting me help take up the offering and being a greeter at the door. I also enjoy a few meetings with Brenda outside of the classes, like going for a walk, eating at Wendy's, and going to the gym during March break. To sum up my experience, I know I have, if I ever feel lonely, scared, or not good enough, that Jesus is with me and I will never leave me. Being part of St. John's Presbyterian Church has made me feel like I belong, and if I ever feel lost or like I don't know who I am a child of God. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus.
The next reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and placed them where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborers deserve to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'"
During the confirmation, I have learned many things being a follower of Jesus. I learned many Bible studies, believing in God's love, and the Holy Spirit guiding our faith to God. And that confirmation is guiding our faith to God and believing in the church's teachings. Also, I learned being a faithful member of a church is to attend church worship regularly and engage in church activities or volunteering, such as singing in choir, playing music, or helping to collect offerings. From being a faithful member of a church, I could feel a sense of community and have feelings of acceptance and personal growth, since becoming a church member takes honesty and commitment. From taking this confirmation class, I grasped the importance of being part of the church member, and attending church every Sunday is important in growing faith towards God.
Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First of all, thank you to the young people who really preached the sermon this morning and did a fine job. Each of them, as you may well have noted, took something different away from their time spent in confirmation, in much the same way that we who are Christians and fellow churchgoers each week take something away from the worship service that may be a little different from those who are next to us. The wonder of the Spirit of God is that he speaks into our deepest needs and wanting, and so it's always a little different. But it all begins with baptism. We would not be here today with these young people if it were not for the sacrament of baptism and promises that their parents made before a congregation, before this congregation or some other congregation. But we share the experience of being one church, regardless of where those promises were made. Big promises to a big God. Big questions and a big God. Sorry, I've got that flipped backwards. Big God, big questions. There it is. I was going to say, and I know I've got a slide for that somewhere, but we weren't quite sure where that was going. Thank you, Alex. These are the questions that we ask at confirmation time. They are the very same questions we ask adults when they bring their children to be baptized. And you have them on the insert in your bulletin this morning. These are the questions that the young people will assent to in a few moments. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Who is your Lord and Savior? Will you promise to be a faithful disciple of Jesus and obeying his word and showing his love? And will you devote yourselves to the church's teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer? Interesting that unit that we did on communion made an immense impact on the young people. The breaking of bread and the gathering of the people of God. We do that every time we celebrate the sacrament. It is important that we fulfill these promises with our young people and we bring them forward to this day and to this time. But it's not just promises that are made by parents. These are promises that we also expect to be made by the congregation, that the congregation will support those parents and encourage them in the bringing up of their children within the Christian faith. So you took part in their baptisms too. You and that great church across all time and space, that capital C church that affirms that whoever you are and wherever you are, when you make those promises, you are a child of God. And so you can come from the farthest ends of the world. You can come from Korea. And you can find a place in a church in Cornwall and know that we are supportive of the promises that were made at a baptism many years ago in a place far, far away. From Korea or from Prince Edward Island, or where were you baptized? From Hamilton, right? Wherever you have been baptized, those promises were made by the Christian church, not by a congregation, although you are important. You are important because a community of faith, a congregation, is where those promises are lived out. It's where nurturing takes place, where friendships are made. I'm grateful to the mentors that you saw stand with these young people this morning, because they were willing to give their time for 12 weeks. We actually went longer than 12 weeks. We had a snowstorm. We had a couple of illnesses. So we had Easter. So it took us a little bit longer than 12 weeks to get through a 12-week curriculum. But that's okay. And they were here. And I think it's fair to say when I said 12 weeks, it was a pretty overwhelming idea, wasn't it? I also think we're going to miss being together after 12 weeks, right? Did you not know what to do with yourself last Sunday night, right? It's true. Gathering together for that time builds bonds and connections with which are the church. And we cannot, for a moment, underestimate their importance. A number of years ago, I looked for the book on my shelf and I can't find it anywhere. A gentleman by the name of Chip Anders and Kara Powell wrote a book about youth ministry entitled Sticky Faith. And the one thing that they start the book with is this question. Does your child have church friends? People who are their age, yes, who are incredibly important to have as church friends. And we have built church friends between, Julie and Roy, they're still brother and sister. So I don't know how that works out in your house. I usually try to avoid brothers and sisters in confirmation class because sometimes that doesn't work out well. Julie and Roy were great. And Hannah, we built these relationships between these three young people, which I think were important. And we gave them adult friends within the church, as Hannah in her note drew attention to. And a bond of relationship has been forged between Hannah and Brenda, between Roy and Laura, between Trish and Julie. And that's important. Do our young people know you? Do you know our young people? Because it's that sticky faith, those connections that we make with one another that are important and which guide and will support us and knit the church together. So I'm grateful to our confirmants. I'm grateful to our mentors. I'm grateful to our parents. We were church when we gathered in the basement for an hour and a half on a Sunday evening for 12 weeks. We gathered together. We read scripture together. We prayed together. As somebody mentioned, we ate together. Tragically, then all of the leftovers were left for the minister, so the minister got fat alone, but that's okay. But it was a time of genuine church when we were together. And we heard stories on videos from other congregations across North America about what it means to be the church in their particular circumstances. And they were wonderful stories, stories of acceptance, stories of finding new ways to reach out in ministry and mission, stories about the value of the fellowship that is held in a church and how these particular congregations gathered together to be God's people. All of those things are part of the big questions that lead us to believe in a big God. And so I'm thrilled that we come to this point today. Led by God's Spirit, we will welcome these three young people into the church.